CliffCentral.com.
It is Wednesday morning. It's the 5th of August already. Gord Laws is here, C.S. Sangweni, and you and me. And we can all spend the morning together and hopefully make each other feel a little bit better as we head into the day.
Yes. Good morning upon all of you who have just joined us.
Great. Since the good mornings upon you. So, Gord, you're a very...
Oh, that's very formal.
Yes. You're a very sensitive chap.
Sometimes.
And...
Certain body parts.
You feel bad when you feel bad when you say or do something that hurts other people. I know that much about you.
Yeah, I question things a little bit and sometimes kind of think myself into a corner with what's okay and what's not. Because on the one hand, I'm like, I believe, as Ricky Gervais put it far more eloquently than I will, that like if you can't laugh at the worst things, then what's laughter for? You know, it's to make, it's to help us deal with the worst things. But at the same time, like if you're being nasty and you know, taking the piss at people's expenses. So when there's something that I would not normally make fun of or laugh at unless I was in any way able to help myself, sometimes a fat oak falls off the unicycle right in front of you and it's just a knee-jerk reaction. But this is something I would not actively go and try and laugh at unless the person themselves was making it and is the one behind, like it's her own channel. This is her thing. She makes these videos, probably makes a bit of money off it. And like, I laughed hard, and then I had this crisis of conscience, and then
right.
that's the worst
explanation in the world. You've almost like ruined the story now. I was setting it up for you, but you, as usual, Mr. Verbosity had to get
stuck
in. I spoke
about my actual feelings and thoughts and didn't just act like
this story's had its soul and heart ripped out already by Gord. So basically he laughed at some chick who's baking with Tourette's.
Don't tell us your thoughts and feelings, Gord. We need you to be funny all the time.
So what did you... First of all, how do you find people who are baking online with Tourette's?
Somebody sent me, my friend Laundry sent me this because he sends the kind of stuff
His
where it's like...
His name is Laundry?
I didn't want to make a moment, but I'm also wanting to ask. You have a friend named Laundry.
Laundry Lord is off the grid. He doesn't have any digital footprint. He's one of the top like internet ninja people in South Africa.
Is named Laundry.
Doing certain things online, and he's got no footprint. He's the oak that messaged me once and sent me all my passwords ever and was like, there's been a data breach on the dark web. You might want to change all your passwords.
So how do you talk to him? You send a pigeon?
Own a very well-known laundry in the middle of Rosebank. He now lives in Portugal, but this dude is the most clandestine dude that I know, and he texts me shit before it happens, like Epstein's going to get arrested tomorrow type of crazy shit.
Wow. So he finds
weird shit, and he's got one of those dark senses of humor where he's not, you know, you get those people that always forward you jokes and it's just tasteless and it's terrible. And you want to say to them, please stop forwarding me your juvenile bullshit, you 40. And, you know, Laundry sends stuff that's almost there, but it's funny enough to be worth checking. And that's how I came across this. I was not searching disabled people cooking on YouTube.
Yeah. And then you found yourself laughing at it.
Yes, a lot. And then I felt a bit bad.
So with this kind of Tourette's, because I've seen a lot of people online with Tourette's and I've always wanted to meet more of them because I do have a dark sense of humor. I'm not ashamed of it. I know that it's a very serious condition that some people struggle with. I get all of that, but fuck, it's funny. So when people, especially when they drop expletives the whole time, you're like... They'll be saying, so good, and they've got like a nervous tick. So good, so what's happening, bastard? What's going down, son of a bitch? You know, that kind of thing. That, I think, is hilarious.
Like, filters out shit that you mustn't say.
Yeah.
That knows, like, under certain cultural circumstances, certain things are offensive. That, like, there's a part of your brain. It's like in every cell phone, there's a secret file that has all the dirtiest words possible so that auto-predict doesn't predict them, and you have to. Shit. Like, it's the same thing. There's a part of your brain where it stores things to not say at all. And they might be shit that's racist, sexist, terrible, because it's literally a folder of things I do not agree with, and thus my brain must not use.
Right.
And you have metaphorically speaking, a crossed wire situation where the do not use information accidentally gets dumped into the go out the mouth program. And the
people. Was this Tourette's person one of those?
I sent the clip. I wanted you guys to play the audio, but yeah, she just is trying to explain how to, but she also has physical tics, so she'll be like, and her brother helps her, and they like take the piss out of each other, and she'd be pouring the sugar and then spill and then try again and be pouring the sugar, but she keeps saying, I've got the biggest dick in town.
The usual,
she's Australian, so it's like, all right, how am I going to get? I'm going to get the sugar in. I'm going to give it another bastard fuck bash. And then I'm going to try bastard fuck. And then, like, it's pretty rough. But she mentions that she has the biggest dick in town. That was where I collapsed. So, yeah, if you YouTube Baking with Tourette's, I think that's the name of the channel. And the lady that does it is very funny. But, yes, yeah, I felt good.
Oh, that's great. I like that. All right, I'm not going to play the whole thing, but let's listen to a little bit of it. Yeah, I'm just gonna. I'll play you like
the longest drinking down.
Ooh, I've got the longest dick in town.
That was good. Let's not try and make too much of a mess.
And how do you expect me to control that, Caleb?
Mm-hmm.
What do you?
Well, think? I'm not cleaning it.
Okay.
You need to do an intro.
Ha ha, bitch. Hi, bitch.
Ha ha, bitch. Hi, bitch. I'm sorry, I'll watch this later in my spare time.
Yeah.
I can't put you through it, but I love this.
Oh, there's also a Scottish oak who's like a young guy. Seems like a very sort of, you know, light-hearted young bloke or lad from Scotland who does something or other. Like, he does a sports report or something like that. I can't remember. It was from a couple of years ago, but there was like a very funny young Scottish guy clearly involved. His mates were clearly also involved. And he like did a sports report or a news report with Tourette's. Shame, but it's terrible. I mean, that is a seriously lifestyle limiting type of thing. And
kudos to them a bit for not taking themselves too seriously and just like owning the fact that they have this and so screw it. I'm going to.
Yeah, I guess if I made my own channel riding unicycles in spandex and falling off them at speed and people found it funny, no one could really be held accountable for that. I'd be like, I brought it upon myself.
I would watch a channel where you were riding unicycles in spandex and falling. I would watch that a lot.
I remember the guy that fell off his motorbike on the freeway. We're driving on the freeway. And it's like one of those shitty, like small motorbikes, that unsafe, shitty, small delivery bike type of bikes. But we were getting on the on-ramp. And as we got on the on-ramp, this dude on his bike had pulled over and was rolling to a slowing stop as if something was wrong. And he was like pulling over his bike on the yellow lane in the freeway. And as he came to a complete stop, you sort of put your legs out and you just lean over and your foot touches the ground and nothing falls over. This dude came to a complete stop, kept his feet on the pedals, and the bike just fell over. And me and my friends were driving past at the time, and we were in hysterics. Like, thank God it was traffic, or I wouldn't have been safe to drive. I would have had to pull over myself. I was fucking fucked for like 2 hours afterwards. You know when something makes you laugh so badly that it like collapses your nervous system, and there comes a point where like you're no longer A, enjoying it, or B, even finding it funny. Your body's just like stuck in this. It's like got hiccups of laughter. Yeah. And then you end up in the terror phase where you're just wide-eyed with terror. Your mouth is stuck as wide open as it can go. You're silent and your body's shaking. And every 45 seconds or so, you go, then you go back to just violently shaking with your mouth open, where funny is no longer fun.
Oh, man. Listen, there's this huge explosion in Beirut, which everyone's talking about. We discussed it at length in the first hour of the show this morning, but it's just incredible to see how, you know, because everyone has a cell phone these days, we get so many versions of big events, big news stories. And clearly, you know, this is also a very tragic situation. They say some 70 people or something are dead, and they're still looking through the rubble to see if there are more. About 4,000 people injured. And people are just in disbelief that you could have an explosion like that at some kind of factory or some sort of institute inside a town. I've got to remind you that these places are all over. There are chemical There are chemical factories and explosives, munitions dumps and places like that all over this country and other countries all over the world. And you don't need a huge amount of any of these chemicals to make this stuff happen. You have to follow such strict safety protocols. I was talking to a friend of mine just yesterday, ironically. He runs a a big chemical operation in the south of Joburg. They sell laboratory and industrial chemicals. And he's been in the business for 30, 40 years. He really knows his stuff. And he told me some stories about some of the things that have happened where his factory was, you know, because fires happen in these places, believe it or not. They, no matter how much precaution you take, there are things that just happen. I mean, there's a freak lightning storm or someone throws a cigarette butt down, you know, a kilometer away and the felt burns all the way up to your factory. He told me about a situation where the firefighters arrived to put out a fire. And he said to them, guys, do not spray water on that part of the factory. There's some stuff in there that reacts with water. And they were like, ah, shut up, get out of the way, what do you know? Anyway, these firefighters poured water on 260 kilograms of sodium metal. Let me tell you something. When that stuff gets in, when at that magnitude, that weight of sodium metal, I mean, sodium metal is, I've got like 50 to 100 grams of this stuff, and I treat it like it's a relic from ancient Egypt. I am so careful that I have a routine, a ritual I go through, put on gloves, I pray to Jesus, I take out the tiniest little piece, which obviously can never cause an explosion of any serious magnitude. But these guys, they put out fire with sodium, with water. Do you know what that must have looked like? He said five people went to hospital.
I just imagine if you like wet the sodium metal, the reaction is like a massive Metallica concert springs into being.
Liquid metal.
Just add water.
If you take a piece,
if
you take a piece of sodium the size of a piece of fudge, and you throw it,
a piece of fudge can be any size. That's like saying take a piece of sodium.
Okay, the size of a block of chocolate.
Take a piece of sodium the size of some food.
Take a slab of chocolate, one of those blocks. Okay.
I call bullshit on how those have gotten smaller with smaller squares over time, but that's the next conversation. do we have like a childhood-sized slab or a current-sized slab?
Current one. Let's not go too big. You take that and you throw it on the pool. It goes boom. It makes a huge explosion, and there's smoke. And so just imagine. People are like, what was in that factory to have made a mushroom cloud? I'll tell you what was in there. Ammonium nitrate. Ammonium nitrate is this incredible stuff. When it is detonated, and you can heat it, sometimes it doesn't explode. But if you detonate it, in other words, if ammonium nitrate is also inside of a fire, what happens is it splits up into water, nitrogen, and oxygen. And it is unbelievably dangerous. In fact, I think it's nitrogen, hydrogen, and water. And hydrogen is flammable, and nitrogen, when it separates from anything else, because it's got these weak bonds, it just creates massive pandemonium. Most of the big explosives that we use in the world are nitrogen-based explosives. You all know about nitroglycerine. This thing, undoubtedly, that was the chemical that caused the shockwave that we saw in those videos. It's frightening.
This week's edition of Facts to Get You Laid on Cliff Central was brought to you by Tourette's, in the interest of safer sex. If you're going to use these powerful trivia,
you could use this. It could win you a general knowledge quiz.
I'm scared of talking that level of chemistry in front of women. It feels like it takes away their ability to consent. It's almost like putting them in a trance. It's not like Pied Piper.
What?
When you bust out the chemistry, it's just panties evaporate. That's what reacts. Chuck chemistry on Garrett, panties evaporate.
That is such a funny word. Every time anyone says panties, it's just... It's just I can't take it seriously.
Why? Why do you become instantly 7 years old when you hear the word?
But I do.
I also think panties should not be taken seriously. I dismiss them altogether.
Oh. Like, oh, I just found this pair of panties lying around. It's just ridiculous. It's like such a...
They found the hypothetical particles that give matter fluffiness and softness, black ions and chanons, in the Large Hadron Collider. And now we have a understanding of why Chad's so fluffy. Because a black ion gives a substance the feeling of softness. That's where it gets its – each black ion adds softness to the particle. And then chanons allow for fineness of fur. So that's where you
get – Let me remind everybody that Gord has a cat called Blackie Chan and that he's made this whole thing up right now.
Thank you.
You call it making it up. I call it fringe science, pushing the boundaries, broadening the knowledge of humankind. Okay. You're curious about why Blackie Chan's fluffy, then don't.
Sia, what did you want to say?
Panties are more dignified than briefs or drawers.
Or Brooks.
Brooks. Oh, imagine. See, like, I have to say, I have to admit, even as someone who's attracted to guys, there's nothing sexy about Brooks.
Brooks. And do you like the word underpants? Do you like the word underwear?
Underpant?
No, it's so clinical and ugly. Like lingerie, sexy. Brooks, underpants, yeah.
So, yeah.
Like even just the connotation of... even just the connotation of fans of rock stars who are waiting backstage. And, you know, there was this old myth that there were girls who would wait with, like, their panties and swirl them on their fingers. Yeah. You know, it's just lacy and light and sexy. Imagine a guy standing there with his boxes like, yo.
Don't you love the best one of all is when... A guy who's Afrikaans says to you, I'm wearing a jockey.
Oh,
I need a new panty. But like, it's also like gender roles, right? Like, so you think, okay, I don't care about the politics of it, but like, sister, we do very thing. There are different standards in society. Like middle of a concert, a hot girl or any lady at a Tom Jones concert wants to like take off her bra during the concert.
Throw it at Tom Jones.
I will love this and throw it at Tom Jones. Now, but when I go to fucking Christina Aguilera's show, take off my boxer shorts mid-concert, put my pants back on, and throw them at Christina, I get a suspended sentence and I'm not allowed going to concerts anymore.
Are you kidding? You get escorted out by security and set on fire.
I don't know. Christina comes to you backstage and says, so let's talk about those boxer, my boy. Let's talk about that boxer. Let's talk about your panties, son.
Your panties.
Now, instantly, what are the connotations? Boxers, sweaty, smelly, probably has a hole in them because that's how guys are. They can wear the same thing.
Let me ask you, because you're both very honest people. If you're a guy and you wear holy – I mean, listen, some of those old baggy holy boxers are the most comfortable things to wear, right?
They're a part of you. They join your genetic sequence.
We all know that. But if you know –
I've got boxer short DNA in my genome.
If you know that you are going to end up revealing your underwear to someone, you can't wear those.
Oh, hell yeah. I've got ones that are only for no one can possibly arrive time. I've got underwear worn under quarantine because no one's going to come by.
And do they have holes? Are they really threadbare? Have you had them for like 10 years?
So there's a lot of like dynamic tension at play with elasticity and fat people and shifting forces. So once it gets, it's gonna rip soon. Just one mistimed get up and turn around and okay.
I
must have developed a hole.
Do you have comfortable, no one's going to arrive underwear and then other underwear that you wear when you think you might?
Absolutely. And then here's something that will further prove my weirdness and also my senseless hoarding. I don't know. Anyway, we're admitting it. I still have the underwear I wore the night I lost my virginity.
Oh, Jesus. You're like Monica Lewinsky. You keep shit like that.
I don't know why I still have. Oh, actually.
These are my lucky boning shorts.
We're at home, so I'll make it a show and tell. Just wait.
Oh, my God. We're about to see.
He's going
to
get his boning shorts.
We're going to get Sia's official virginal underpants for the first time displayed on cliffcentral.com. We will post this on Instagram.
Underpants. Okay, found it. Smell of sweat. Sweaty balls.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, me. Jesus, Sia.
Oh, my God.
Hold that
spades
still.
Spades and clubs and – okay, sorry.
Oh, my God.
And what does it say on the band?
Oh, it's just the brand there. But you can see, like, there are clubs and hearts, so it's like play your cards.
You had a club up your sleeve the night
I have
you,
to say.
Clubs and hearts, the night you first time you played clubs and hearts.
How long have you had those?
8 years.
And you will not get rid of them?
It is just no.
Maths.
No, I was 17. So they're actually holy. You can – wait, here. Yeah. There's a hole there.
That hole inflicted during the proceedings.
Jesus. God, let's not go down this track some more. But
I'm lovingly clutching my sex pads.
I don't even know what I'll do with them, but I feel like they need to be framed.
No, throw them away. Oh. Those things are
They've had their reward.
And they're like yellow and black, which is a terrible color combination. I like underwear.
I would look fabulous in that.
I got to commend you on being brand loyal with Cliff Central's colors on your underwear.
Oh, yes. I was foretelling the future here.
Did you stop and pick up the sponsor? Like, the following Goonage is brought to you by Stimroll.
Yes, it's just, it's not a sexy thing to talk about, nor is it a normal thing to mention. I don't think anyone really knows that apart from now, I've told.
Not a normal thing to talk about. No one else does that. And it's every bit as unusual as you thought it might be. Does anyone else out of the entire listenership keep their virginity underpants?
I hope not. I really hope not. It's gross. Here's someone who always, Ruth, always uses the word Brooks. She says, that's my word, panty evaporate. That's some kind of terminology Jenny is now using.
Yep.
Thanks to Gord. Good morning. Good morning, guys. KC says, I worked in a chemical plant. I made morphine and codeine. Sodium metal is one of the raw materials that goes in it. Gord, can you please shut the fuck up? Yarra.
No, but thanks for asking.
Yeah, Gord is actually, he's around because he talks, but he does sometimes overdo it, so I do hear you.
It's early. I'm on no sleep.
Did you just smoke a joint just now?
Allegedly.
No, you're allowed to.
Yeah, I may or may not have.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I didn't.
Because you've got this very dark background on your...
Oh, that's just because my light in my lounge is behind me where I work, and so if I turn it on, you're just going to have, like, bright light.
Yeah. Okay, no, because you're in this dark room, and I can just see the shadow of your face, and then I saw this, like, coal light up, and I thought, oh, okay.
I'm smudging demons.
Oh,
sage.
Right. Okay. Mm. All right, well, that's fine. You're allowed to do what you want to do. You're an adult. You're a responsible adult. Well, semi-responsible.
Yeah, just an adult.
And you just turned how old, Gord?
39.
Jesus, Gord. Next year's the big one. What, are you frightened of 40?
I think I was actually more frightened of 39. Once I hit 39, I wasn't so nervous anymore. It's the worst when you turn 29 or turn 39 because you know, like, this particular decade is kind of over now. You can't kind of say, well, I'm in my 30s. You're basically 40.
And does that worry you?
No, it's just a psychological adjustment. I mean, there are certain expectations when you envisioned your life when you were younger of what it would be like by the time you were 40. And I mean, I don't know if I'm disappointed it's not like that, but it is kind of a taking stock sort of opportunity.
I have hated every one of my birthdays since the age of like 32.
Mm.
Not because of age. I don't feel any older. I don't hate the age that I'm at the moment. In fact, if I could freeze time, I'd probably choose somewhere around now. And I know when I get to 50, I'll say the same thing, and 60 and 70, because I think you do get better with time. You know yourself better, and that's the point of living. But I don't like the celebration of birthdays. I fell off that wagon a long time ago. Somewhere in my early 30s, I decided this whole idea of everybody getting together and singing happy birthday to you, giving you presents, is just too much.
I don't know. I don't have a problem with birthdays on principle. I mean, making someone the center of attention once a year so they know all their friends and family care about them makes sense to me. But for me, it's not like it upsets me. It's just a mission. You stop being excited to get older when you say, like you say, when you're sort of 30, 32.
Yeah.
And then it's like it's that day where everyone that's ever vaguely known you wants to contact you. And each individual means well, and they're like a sweetheart alone, but together it just becomes that day where you've got to do the usual amount of work while dealing with like 400 messages and phone calls.
Well, listen, I know you've got to go, but thanks for joining us this morning, as always.
Thanks.
And happy birthday for Saturday. I'm glad that the rabbit is back. If you want to hear, if you want to hear any of that conversation, listen to the first hour of this morning with Gord Laws. And Gordo, we'll check in with you next week.
Love and good vibes be upon you.
Thank you, dude. Nice to see you. There's Gord Laws, everybody. What an exciting day with Gord. And we talked bunnies, and we talked about explosions in Beirut.
Songs.
Underpants.
Jingle. We threw underpants at the stage.
Underpants, panties, Brooks.
Yeah, yes.
Very exciting. All right.
Whatever you prefer.
And to all, a good night.
yeah, this is quite interesting. I want to quickly tell you about something that we're doing with ABSA, which I think is going to be really important because it's one in a series which we start this week actually on the topic of sexual and gender-based violence. It's obviously Women's Month, and this is very much on our minds. With domestic abuse escalating during the lockdown, President Cyril Ramaphosa has declared sexual and gender-based violence against girls and women as a second pandemic that is raging in our country. South Africa has one of the world's highest rates of rape and femicide, and recently several brutal killings have caused horror and public outcry. Now, I know there are people who would prefer we just ignored this stuff, but I can't do it. And as someone who has been a supporter of Women and Men Against Child Abuse, who has always been very vocal about how I feel about the fact that men do this kind of thing, I'm not going to keep quiet, and I'm not going to expect you to find this journey easy and pleasant. It's going to be horrible because we have to look at ourselves in the mirror. And every Thursday this month, I will be speaking to various experts and thought leaders. I mean, really interesting people. I have to give shout out to Liesl from ABSA, who's helped us to wrangle some terrific guests and people who have just absolutely amazing stories to tell. And by the way, it's not all, you know, like lecturing. There really are interesting insights being offered. People who have experience in various parts of South African society that will interest you, even international guests. So stick around for that. Every Thursday this month, we'll be talking about it. We'll look at the psyche behind SGBV, sexual harassment in the workplace. We'll look at creating a new generation of men, the lasting scars of the COVID-19 lockdown and what that's done. The first one is happening tomorrow at 11 a.m. It's not part of the Gareth Cliff Show, but I encourage you to join in and be a part of this. It's a special webinar series, and you can join for free. All you have to do is go to cliffcentral.com. And you can register, scroll down on the homepage. The link is right there, and it is in conjunction with ABSA's Stop to Start initiative, which we started telling you about last year. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had Charlie Peterson on a couple of times. He's a real mover and shaker in this world because he's talking to the men. He's talking to young boys. He's helping them to develop better attitudes about masculinity, role models in society, change their behavior, the stuff that really will have lasting changes. And I'm so proud of what we did with Charlie last year with ABSA, and I thought if we could find a way of renewing that promise this year and of talking about the things that really matter, because this really does matter, you can be a part of it too. So tomorrow, 11 a.m. on cliffcentral.com, ABSA's Stop to Start initiative. You can find out and go and register.
Hey, talking of Charlie, new episode of So What Now tonight.
Correct. Let's give that a plug. Tonight, ENCA at 8:30. You can check. That's channel 403. Remember, I know lots of people don't have TV. A lot of people watch now on catch up, or they get it on the internet afterwards. And you can get the episode tomorrow morning on cliffcentral.com if you don't have a television. But if you do have a TV, please watch, because it, you know, I want the ratings to be through the roof.
Yeah. We're chatting all things Women's Month.
Even if you just have it on in the background and you're playing Rummy Cub.
Or can we first just promote people to watch the actual show?
You
Thank you very much.
You can go and make a cup of tea and take up a quarter of the episode just making your cup of tea.
No, Gareth.
You can. I don't mind. Just put it on in the background.
Yes, you should, and I do. We have great guests on. We have great conversation. It's must listen, must watch television.
Yeah, all right.
Thank you. It's the beginning of August. It's Women's Month, so we have a panel of Charlie Peterson and Dr. Elna McIntosh and Miranda Jordan Friedman to chat around gender-based violence and what we need to raise good, solid men. And then after that, we have Professor Thuli Madonsela joining as well.
Yes, she was great. You know, Thuli is one of those people who, when you talk to her, you get the feeling that she takes her time to think about the question and that she answers. And we had her here on cliffcentral.com as our first birthday guest, and she was great. I mean, that was her, and she was still, I think, public protector at that stage. She was in the news every other week fighting corruption and graft, and I thought, you know what, we've got to get her on the TV show. And she, of course, agreed, which was terrific. And she came on guns blazing. You could see her in the promo. She says, I wish there was a place in hell for people who stole public money from the poor. That's a hell of a thing to say.
What I marvel at with her is that she's so, I get a sense that she's so completely candid. She's not, and she doesn't need to buy face from anyone. She's not trying to get votes from anyone. No. So she's going to call it as she sees it.
Yeah, she's so great. I do have a lot of time for her. But the other guests are equally impressive. Dr. Elna McIntosh, who you know we've had on Cliff Central before, and she's the foremost woman sexologist in the country when it comes to women's health issues. And she had some very funny things to say, too. Because, you know, even though it's a very serious topic, women and the plight of women in this country, it's something that we have to look at from all different angles. And you have to take an observer's point of view on so much of this stuff so that you can really understand it. But it's a great show, and I hope you'll watch it this evening, mm-hmm. 8:30. All right, so we're going to have another guest join us in just a moment or two. He is Zachariah Motsumi, spokesperson for the South African Tobacco Transformation Alliance. We've spoken to farmers, we've spoken to people in townships, we've spoken to people in business, and today we'll actually talk to the people who have stood up and been counted. I don't know if you noticed yesterday, quite a big story in the news, and something which I've got to say I'm very proud to see finally, that the liquor industry is fighting back. South African breweries, who've been dead quiet, they have just announced that they're abandoning a 5 billion rand capital investment project in South Africa because governments are just not even coming to the table to talk about reversing the liquor ban. And we've been talking about lifting the ban for the longest time here on Cliff Central, right? So SAB, South African Breweries, finally said, sorry guys, unless you are prepared to sit down and talk to us, I don't see why we should invest in your country. Sounds obvious to you and me. It is obvious. But government have just not listened. And so breweries have decided to abandon 5 billion rands worth of capital investment projects in South Africa because they said this 12-week alcohol ban imposed by government as part of the response to the COVID-19 pandemic has affected their business so badly that they do not have that money to spend anymore. The vice president for SAB Finance said they would cancel 2.5 billion rand of investment for 2020 and an additional 2.5 that was being reviewed for 2021 due to the ban. A guy called Andrew Murray, who is that vice president of finance, said the cancellation of this planned expenditure is a direct consequence of having lost 12 full trading weeks, which effectively equates to some 30% of breweries' annual production. So Distell also said the industry had already lost 118,000 jobs. Projections showed that a 9-week ban would now cost another 84,000 livelihoods. Government, lift the ban. Your capricious rulemaking around the lockdown has done nothing but damage. You should be embarrassed at the way that you've handled this, and you have a responsibility to switch on those parts of the South African economy which you, without thinking, switched off. I know I'm not alone in this. I know that the Minister of Finance himself was very much against the tobacco and the liquor ban. He knows that he's losing tax revenue on that, but there are so many other reasons to do it. And if Distell and SAB have finally found the courage, because I really did find that their silence was nauseating through all of this, because, you know, a lot of these liquor companies think, oh, well, we've still got a seat at the table with government, or they're afraid that government will take away their liquor licenses. So they've never had the courage up to now, where it's become desperate, to stand with people like me who've been against this stuff from the beginning. I'm proud of them for finally coming round, but it's taken you guys too long, and the damage might already have been done.
What I haven't wanted to think about yet is, with all of these numbers that are being released of people who have lost their jobs and as a result of lockdown, you think about the family members. Mm. You know, some of these people, as much as we know they already aren't earning millions of rands,
yeah,
but they might be supporting their spouses, their three kids. They might be supporting their mother-in-law who's retired now and isn't working. They're trying to send kids to school, buy groceries, take... It's just a lot, man.
Well, I do feel that we've all got to put in whatever fight we can. We spoke to Mark Sham just the other day, who started his own movement. And you know, everybody goes, oh, I wish someone would do something. But when you're in a position to do something, you don't want to do anything. Maybe you're afraid, which I understand. Not everybody's brave. Maybe you are under pressure from your employer. Maybe you feel like you should just shut up because you already are in a fortunate position where you don't have a job that's going to be cut. You know, there's some people who just, it's not my problem, man. I'm just going to hide away. I think that's very, very scary, because it only takes, and this is according to amazing research that was conducted by someone called Erica Chenoweth at Harvard University. She discovered that upon reviewing all kinds of protests and movements and changes that have occurred in society over the last 50 to 100 years, she's compiled the research. Listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
This woman, Erica Chenoweth, who's a professor there, she's discovered that it takes only 3.5% of the population to make lasting change happen. 3.5%. So that is just unbelievable. 3.5% of our population. What are we, 60 million people? Is that about right?
Roughly yeah. There.
Okay, so let me just figure out here. Minus 3.5%. I'm just going to do a rough calculation, and you know how bad my maths is, right? It would only take, I mean, this is just unreal. 57% is the remainder. So we're talking like 2.5 million people in this country could make a lasting change in any direction. You don't need the majority of people to be a part of something for change to happen. And I would love us to be able to create this change in ways that can have meaningful effects on society and positive effects on society. All right, so I said a little while ago that we were speaking to Zachariah Mutsumi, who is the spokesperson for the South African Tobacco Transformation Alliance. The entire tobacco value chain has been affected by this tobacco ban, and we've been speaking to farmers, we've spoken to people in the township economies, and we thought, let's speak to Zachariah, who's really the guy who, at the South African Tobacco Transformation Alliance, has been spearheading this effort to lift the ban. And if you haven't already posted something on social media with Lift the Ban as the hashtag, or you haven't already gone and signed the petition on lifttheban.org, you're really missing out. So, Zachariah, nice to see you, man. How are you?
Morning, Gareth. Morning to your listeners.
You're good?
I'm doing well, and you, man?
Yeah, well, under the circumstances, I think all of us that are surviving this lockdown are doing the best we can. But I know that the tobacco industry has been affected because we've spoken to so many people over the last couple of days. I've got to congratulate you guys at SATA for coming up with the idea, and well done to you for pushing in so many ways to get people to start supporting this. I think there are many millions of South Africans who are smokers and non-smokers who realize that this is an assault on our freedom. It is doing huge damage to the economy. It is ruining people's livelihoods because there are so many people who work in the tobacco industry and in other industries that have been banned too. So how are we looking now, a couple of days in? Have we made some headway? Are we starting to get traction? Are governments starting to take notice? What's going on, Zachariah?
Thanks for having me again, and I appreciate for giving us the opportunity. Thus far, the government, it seems as if they will they've just closed their ears. They don't want to listen to our plea. And then this is, I believe, that's a national plea of which everybody is struggling, more especially the industry as it is. So we are going through tough times. So we need you people, as from the media, also to assist us. And but from the campaign that we have launched, we definitely are receiving more traction on it. So more people are getting being aware of this. And we believe that at the end of the day, the government will make the right decision, because this, according to us, is being nonsensical. Doesn't make sense at all. taking us nowhere.
And also, it's just been ongoing. This ban has now been in place for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yes, it is. For the past, you can't believe it, for the past 125 days, we have lost almost 4.5 billion rand. That's a lot of money. That is the money that the government should have used. Currently, our government has borrowed money from the IMF. And we believe that with the 35 million that we are losing on daily basis, that is going directly to the scrupulous, to the criminals, or doing the illicit trading. That is the money that we should be using it for the right cause.
So, Zachariah, what does SATA do, the South African Tobacco Transformation Alliance? What are you guys? Tell me about SATA.
Okay. SATA, as you have rightly mentioned, is the South African Tobacco Transformation Alliance. That is an organization that represents the entire tobacco value chain, starting from your farmers, your processors, your distributors, your manufacturers, your retailers, and your spaza shops. So we as an organization, we are just trying to ensure that we speak with one voice so that our government should listen to us and represent the entire value chain.
How many people are in SATA? I mean, are you an umbrella organization for a number of smaller ones? I know you have members who are farmers, members who are retailers. How big is it?
As I've just mentioned now, the organization is an umbrella representing the entire value chain. So we've got your farmers, we've got your manufacturers, we've got your Black Tobacco Farmers Association,
right.
We've got your spaza shop and your retailers. So it's an organization that represents the whole entire value chain.
And obviously you guys are doing what you can to fight the illicit tobacco trade, which we know is really taken off over the last couple of weeks. People are buying from very dangerous places and very dangerous people. This industry is now becoming, just because it's the only tobacco industry that's alive at the moment, it's becoming legitimized. Even if people know it's illegal, they don't care. They haven't stopped smoking. And as a result, the legitimate tobacco industry is suffering, and those people who are doing whatever is illegal are prospering.
Yeah, that is exactly what we have been saying with this campaign, that the government has just given this industry on a golden platter to the illicit traders. Currently, we've got the illicit traders that are only trading at 100% because they are the only people that are selling cigarettes. And moreover, they are overcharging our people. And to add on that, our own people, they've been turned to be criminals in their own country just to buy this illicit trading. Because according to our Minister of Police, he mentioned that if he finds you with a packet of cigarettes, then you just have to explain and give the receipt, where did you buy that cigarette. So our people are struggling at this stage. They need to hide everything that they have. So it is very unfair to them to want to smoke. Remember, this is their right to smoke. But at the end of the day, they are struggling to get that cigarette, and they are only buying to the illicit traders. And their illicit traders are overcharging them. We just have heard recently that a packet of cigarette that cost around 44 rand, it now costs around 70. In other places, it costs 120. So that's a lot of money there. They are being overcharged. For what? That is what we are saying to our government, that This is not benefiting the country. It's not benefiting the government. It's not benefiting the South Africans. It's not benefiting the industry.
Just tell me, do you guys know at all whether this has changed people's habits? I know that the government has said that one of the reasons they want this ban is because they think it's going to make people healthier, and it'll stop them from sharing cigarettes, and it'll stop them from smoking. But we have no evidence to show that anyone has stopped smoking as a result of the ban, do we?
That is a myth that the government is trying to push, Gareth. For the past 3 to 4 months, we have been seeing people smoking on a daily basis. We have been seeing police officers arresting these illicit traders with so many cigarettes. So smoking is still there, and people are still smoking. And if I can just share with you, for the past funeral that we had of Bob and Room Langen, if I had to mention that, we saw senior officials in the South African Army smoking. Yeah. That gives you more information that says to you that smoking in South Africa, people are still smoking. There is no people that we know of that have stopped smoking.
Yeah, it's amazing. Listen, keep up the good fight. We are right behind you. As I've said a million times, I'm not a smoker, but I believe people have the right to buy products that are not illegal. They have the right to trade in these products. They have the right to use them if they decide to do so. And I think it's ridiculous that we live in a country where we're the only country, I think, in the world. Am I right, Zachariah? I don't think there are any other countries that have banned smoking.
That's correct, Gareth. We are the only country at this stage that has banned cigarettes. It amazes you that South Africa can only be the country that is so health that wants to insert health precautions. It doesn't make sense at all. So this says to you that there is something that somebody is trying to push. We don't want to get into that, but it doesn't make sense at all. That is why we are saying that it is high time that the government has to leave this ban so that all South Africans benefit from this, because this 35 million that we are losing on a daily basis, it is the money that we could be using it for a good cause.
Sure. Well, listen, I think it's great that you're doing what you're doing. I think we've all got to support you, and there are lots of people who are with you on this fight. Unfortunately, I think governments are just being stubborn, and I don't think they want to listen. Like you said, they've got their fingers in their ears, and they're like a school child who just goes, da-da-da-da-da, I can't hear you. We've got to eventually break through, because they're going to pay the ultimate price when people realize that government are not responsive and that they're not listening to us as citizens. Then we're going to end up very, very angry with them. And they have no idea right now of how much they're upsetting people. I hope that it doesn't get any worse for people in the tobacco industry. We know how many jobs have already been lost. I think it's terrific that you're doing what you're doing with SATA. And thank you very much, Zachariah, for speaking to us today.
Thanks very much, Gareth, for the opportunity that you've given to us.
Thank you. And please go. Everybody must head on down to liftheban.org. I've been there and signed up, and you can too. Support these guys. They're trying to revive an industry. I mean, this is no small feat. And use the hashtag liftheban on all your social media too, so that we can make a difference. And by the way, I know that SATA and those guys are not trying. They're not fighting with government just for the sake of it. They're not looking for a fight, but they're fighting for their survival. And you would do the same.
That's correct, Gareth. We are just fighting for the poor South Africans, because this is going to benefit all of us, not only the industry. It's going to benefit each and every South African. You remember that this 35 million that we are getting from excise tax is going straight to the fiscals. And then to the fiscals, that is the money that would then be used for health. That is the money that's going to be used for the infrastructure. That is the money that's going to be used for each and every portfolio that we have in our government.
Correct. Thank you, Zachariah. Nice to see you, man.
Okay, thanks, man.
We'll chat soon. Zachariah Motsumi from SATA, the South African Tobacco Transformation Alliance. We've spoken to a lot of people over the last few days. He was the last one that I wanted to chat to, because they've been spearheading this effort, and I think it's a good one. So I hope you've enjoyed it too, because I know many of our listeners feel the same way, smokers or not.
Yeah, kudos to people and organizations like SATA who are keeping the good fight going and moving forward, and especially when you feel like you aren't being heard or things aren't happening, but you still persist forward. Because so often, you know, change isn't going to happen overnight in most cases of things that we deal with. But it is good that we carry on. You know, we make our voices heard, and we carry on being strong.
Well, look after yourself today. I mean, 2020 has been such an absolute disaster. And this explosion in Beirut has just made people feel even more that things are just out of control, right? So please look after yourself and do what you can to protect yourself, not only from this disease, which kills only 1-2% of the total population that it infects. The numbers are tiny, tiny, tiny. And if you think about the world reacting to that, and you see an explosion like we saw in Beirut yesterday, it gives you perspective on how bad things can be. And I really hope this is just the end of 2020's ugly surprises. We've had enough, haven't we? We're full up to the brim, right, Sia?
True. And also enjoy life as long as it lasts. Oh, wear those Brooks with big holes in it if it makes you comfortable.
Yeah, do what you like. Just today, indulge yourself a little bit. What I have to do today is get back to exercise. I took a week and a half off, and I haven't done any exercise. I'm feeling like such a slob. So today it's back to the grindstone. I'm going to spend an hour.
I will think about you as I have chocolate croissants for breakfast. Ah,
well done. I knew you wouldn't, sir. I know you wouldn't care. Thanks, Sia. It's great that I can rely on you. You're such a kind, considerate person.
I'm here for moral support.
Yeah, people think you're nice. Oh, my God.
That's the best I can do right now.
Yeah. Very exciting. I'm also going to give you a heads up. We will be engaging with our friend Jean-Jacques Cornish a little bit more in the future, too. We're planning to launch a kind of Africa report, which he will give us, where he'll tell us about what's going on the continent. And as you know, there are so many interesting things happening on this continent of ours. There are many more countries than there are in North America and South America, and all of them have a story. And I thought, because we live here, we should know more. We always used to talk to people like Simon Allison about what was going on the continent, and I feel like there's a gap. So we're going to be undertaking to speak to him a little bit more often. And tomorrow, of course, is the Burning Platform, which is brought to you by Nando's. We always have interesting contributors from all over the country and from various organizations who can give you insights and analysis that you will need in order to navigate the craziness of modern South Africa. Also got to remind you, tonight's So What Now episode with Charlie Peterson, with Miranda Jordan-Friedman, with Dr. Elna McIntosh, we've spoken to her before on this show, and with Tuli Madonsela, the former public protector, now the chair of social justice at Stellenbosch University.
Watch live.
Yeah, watch it live. Please, don't watch the recording. There's a press.
And hashtag.
Yeah, we need that. We need the ratings. I'm going to – don't make me – beg and have to tell you again that my mother will eat dog food in her old age if we don't
succeed. Right. Let's not take it that far.
Got to emotionally manipulate people.
No, we really don't. We don't have to Michael Jackson. Think about the children, Deb.
Wouldn't it be nice if Cyril went on TV tonight? After our show, obviously. Or before, but doesn't move our time slot. If Cyril went on and said, okay, guys, we've done what we needed to do. Our hospitals are ready. Please continue to social distance, continue to wear masks, be as responsible as you can. But the government is going to take the controls away and give them back to you. We're going to give them back to you, the responsible, brilliant people of South Africa who we trust to do this economy better than we can do it, because we obviously can't. And we're going straight to level zero. So tonight, wouldn't that be great? Oh, man, I'd be so impressed. That would be leadership. You talk about
my middle name is Optimism, but that's rich.
Jesus. I mean, what are they? Is there any horizon on level three? We've been in level three for what feels like months. It's time now. There's no exit plan. This is like when George W. Bush went into Iraq. No exit plan. Well, we're just going to stay here until, we'll just stay here forever. I don't have a plan.
Please,
let's get out of this. We need an exit plan for lockdown now, government. Get your shit together. You're starting to look like the clumsiest Keystone Cops in the world. I know that there are other countries that have gone back into lockdown. Australia, panicking, going back into lockdown. I don't think that's going to help. Remember, lockdown doesn't stop the disease from spreading. Lockdown is just there to help us get our medical facilities ready. Why do we have to keep repeating this stuff? Is no one listening? All right, everybody, let's get stuck into the day. Do what we can. We may not be able to do everything, but we can do what we can. And have a good day. We will see you tomorrow morning, bright and early, for, among other things, the Burning Platform. This is CliffCentral.com. Have an awesome Wednesday.
CliffCentral.com.